Now then, of course, one of the great things about being a vicar is you stand there and you talk about God's plans for my life and for other people's lives. And I sometimes think, now, I wonder how this is working out. It's nice for me to chatter on. None of you is abusive afterwards. Well, not for 2 years anyway. And but I just think, now, what does that mean? What is God doing in our lives? And so Aaron is going to come and talk to us as a kind of example of this. Do you want to come up? You can have this mic, and I'll stand nonchalantly here. Now, Aaron normally sits about there, he's very good, because he once said to me over lunch, if you're no good, I take a nap. And so I always kind of about minute four just check that he's still there. Surprising what comes out in Pizza Express, isn't it? Especially on the sparkling water, which we had that day. But that's true, by the way, isn't it?
It's true, yeah.
You were very clear. Now then, this is quite an exciting time for you, isn't it, in your life? Do you want to say what has been happening, is happening, and will be happening?
Wife is expecting.
Your wife. When's the baby due?
End of this month.
Oh my goodness! Yes.
Apparently.
Yes.
And got a new job, so unfortunately it's my last.
Your last week, Wednesday. It's deep sadness. One of you is going to have to practice falling asleep in my sermons, and so to take your apostolic vision. So you're about to become a father.
Yeah.
And you're about to go and to do a job in the West End, and that is desperate for us. Now then, God and you have talked mm-hmm. for some time mm-hmm. about giving this testimony. We talked about it in Peter Express about 6 months mm-hmm. ago. What was the agreement you made with God? Because you didn't instinctively feel, yes, Lord, that's wonderful, did you?
So the agreement was that if he'd got me through a certain period in my life, then I would have to give a testimony in church, specifically in the city, because it relates to
the city.
To the city, yeah.
And the particular period in your life, it was quite challenging, wasn't it, in a professional way?
Professional and a personal way. So I went to University of Manchester,
lovely.
Lovely, yeah, Russell Group University, and
that's just putting Durham in its place. Where Russell Group now?
There's a reason why I say that. At the end of my university career, I got a third, and so obviously there was hopes. I did biomedical sciences, so there was hopes in the family. I'm the first one to go to university in my whole family.
Yeah,
and so there was the expectations to maybe to go on and do medicine and such like, and so that didn't happen because of obviously the grade and I went through a period of depression, times of pretty much just crying myself to sleep for a number of months, and you had people telling you that you're never going to succeed and you're never going to get a job, and even certain family members just...
So that was that.
You're a failure.
Been brought up in a Christian home,
so
haven't you?
So I was brought up in a Christian home. Luckily, my aunt used to take me to church as a child.
Formidable aunt.
Yeah. So at university, I wasn't always a Christian. So,
you say you weren't always a Christian, you were, but...
I will go to church.
Yeah, that's very encouraging. Certainly if you're a vicar, that's very encouraging. But it was lifestyle things and busyness and priorities. So it was a really bad few months after you left university, wasn't it?
It took me over a year to find a job.
Yeah.
Which
at that age is quite...
Yeah, and so especially with the type of university, that's why I mentioned it, the type of university you go to, the expectation is that you're going to... have a decent career and do well. And especially when I have friends who were going to getting jobs at Goldman Sachs or other professional service firms like Accenture and whatnot. And so you're the one that's still at home, hasn't done as well as all your friends who've got firsts and 2-1s.
Yeah.
And you're pretty much just in your mind, you're in your head, and it's very easy to sink into that dark place of just not. So I didn't, for the first few months, I didn't really see that much people. I didn't really go out. It was a lot of pressure.
And then you got a job.
Then I got a job. Then I got a job.
That was a kind of bittersweet moment, wasn't it?
Yeah, so like the job was where I am now, and it was just for a normal temp job. And I think one thing that taught me was that, I think probably the reason why I was so down and so, I guess, depressed was that I had realized that I'd associated my identity with what I do.
Yeah.
I wanted to be a doctor, or I wanted to be this, or whatever it was. And so for me, my identity was what I did. Mm. And when that was taken away from me, then I almost had nothing left.
Yeah.
And so you almost had to go through that year period of trying to almost redefine who you are and trying to figure out what God is trying to do in your life. And so when we say that, you know, I am God's and he is mine, you know, what does that actually mean in practice?
Yeah.
And so it kind of took me a year to really kind of figure out what that meant. So when I got the job, I was happy, but I didn't know where it would lead to.
There was some misunderstanding at the start of that job, wasn't there? I'll go now.
So in the interview, she asked me. So obviously, I was still very afraid, of my degree result and things like that. And so she asked me what I got. She didn't ask me. She kind of told me what I got, and I didn't correct her.
Yeah.
And so at the end of that interview, I felt obviously really bad.
Yeah.
And
you didn't tell your aunt.
No. and so I emailed in and said to and told her the truth. And I thought to myself, well, that's the end of that. You know, on to the next job. Yeah. And you know, luckily for me, you know, she still took me. So she's now left, but she still took me on.
Yeah.
And gave me opportunity to work and to just get my foot on. Get my foot on the ladder, as it were.
And you've been there, and it's been great.
Yep.
And they've been very good in terms of professional qualifications, haven't they?
So, I work for a venture capital firm, and just around the corner here. And so I started out as a temp, and then I think 6 weeks in, they offered me a permanent job as an accounts assistant. And then she gave me the opportunity to do my ACA. Mm. And normally, I think anyone that has like an accounting qualification or ACA, for example, you know, you have certain minimum requirements, which is at least 2:1, you know, certain degree, and you know, you normally go to a top four services firm, and so I would have been the first. I was the first person they ever took on as an ACA graduate. Most people there are ACAs, and so
in my current firm,
and so you know that was a huge blessing. As well, but it was also very scary because I also had major doubts about whether I could actually do it, because I had friends who have done the ACA and they found it incredibly difficult, and they were way smarter than I am, and so you know I was overjoyed, but at the same time I was extremely scared as well, and every time I sat an exam, there was constant doubts of whether I would actually pass.
Yeah. And you were very good, weren't you, at mobilising prayer at key moments.
So obviously I would ask Jeremy, I'll tell Jeremy and the men.
Tell me, not ask.
Literally, I need prayer right now. So I tell Jeremy, I tell the men's group, and they would regularly pray. And I think one of the major things that I learned during doing the ACA was it wasn't at the actual passing of the exams. It was the actual what you learn about God during the journey.
And what did you learn?
I learned contentment. Mm. That's what I learned. I learned that even if I didn't pass the ACA, it doesn't determine who I am as a person. Mm. And it shouldn't affect my happiness. And it shouldn't affect my joy. Mm. There's actually a scripture that God gave me. And I'll read it. It's Philippians 4, three verses, and it says, and Paul's talking to the Philippians, and he says, "Not that I was ever in need, for I have learned how to be content in whatever I have. I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. I have learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it is with a full stomach or empty, with plenty or little, for I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength." And We always say that I can do everything through Christ. It's that kind of Christian cliche. but when you actually have to use that in practical terms and thrash it out and figure it out, it doesn't always work to how we think it works in our mind. And so although there was constant doubts of me going through the exam process, I knew that it doesn't change how God sees me. Yeah. It doesn't change how my family sees me. It doesn't change how my friends see me. And it shouldn't change how I see myself. Right. And so whatever happens, happens.
And you've made quite a bold move now. You're leaving the city, leaving financial services.
Yeah.
Going sadly to the West End, I can hardly bear it. What are you going to do?
So I'm working as finance manager for the Design Museum. They've definitely just opened a new building.
Which, of course, was in Docklands, just the prettiest move ever. And you wrestle with that, didn't you?
I wrestle with that because, based on my background, I come from a single parent family. Money was never there, and so one of the major things is to basically get as much money as possible. And so that's why you study and stuff like that. And especially working in the city, that constant lure of accumulating wealth is very easy, especially in the bonus culture and things like that. Yeah. And I don't have anything against people earning loads of money. That's fine. But what's scary, and we've talked about it a lot, and my aunt was a former banker as well, is that it's difficult to maintain, I find, from what I've seen, from what I've heard, from what I've talked to people, it's difficult to maintain a fervent relationship with God and still chase after loads and loads and loads of money. Mm. And so...
Jesus said a bit about that.
He did say a few things. I'm sure you know the scriptures more than I do.
Neither of us know them better than your aunt, of course. Yeah.
And so I kind of took the decision that I'd rather leave financial services for a time and use that time to spend with my family, with my impeding daughter that's coming soon and try and work it out that way. I don't think that I could bear that cross at the moment.
Yeah, bless you. We have loved having you here all these years. We admire the fact that you're taking actually quite a significant pay cut in order just to be there, because that's what you've helped God wants and family and everything. And we look forward to you coming back into financial services.
Definitely.
Thank you so much. Bless you.